Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Our Pastor Paul Kern taught Sunday morning, March the 26th, on love, and gave us the definition of love, and it's probably one of the best messages I've heard. I can't remember a better message. And I want you to go back to that podcast on March 26th and listen to that again and again. I just hadn't gotten that message out of my heart, and today I just want to talk some more on it. I want to pick up and go again, because it was just so powerful, and it's so life-affecting for us. I want to go ahead with the title today, being love motivated. Love motivated. You know, laws govern the world that we live in. Physical laws, the law of gravity, the law of motion. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. I don't believe in that. It doesn't matter if you believe or not. The law of gravity affects you every second of every day. It's in operation. And like it or dislike it, agree or disagree, there are laws. Last week, we talked about the law of entropy and how that affects our life. There are laws. There are spiritual laws. Whether you agree or disagree or acknowledge them or not acknowledge them, it's in giving you receive. If you don't give of your time, of your talents, of your knowledge, of your ability, if you don't give of yourself, then you don't get anything on Friday. I mean, it's in giving that you receive. In life, it's in giving that you receive. There are laws. You will reap what you sow. If you sow happiness, if you sow a smile, if you sow good things, then that's what comes back to you. You reap what you sow. Whether you like it or not like it or disagree, there are laws that govern the way we operate in life. And there are two opposing spiritual laws that motivate people. The law of love and the law of lust. Now, they are very similar. Both guide, both direct our lives. They provide motive for action, and all action is directed by one or the other, either by love or by lust. And we'll talk about this. As soon as I say the word love or lust, you think of a sexual connotation. Well, clearly that's just one aspect, but one small aspect, because it affects every area of our life. It's in operation in every area of our life as they motivate action. They can very easily be confused with each other. In fact, one is being taught as the definition of the other. You know, you grow up learning definitions of words and meanings of words, and sometimes words need a little clarification because people have different meanings for the same word. At times, we just need some better explanation and understanding, because often we are lust-driven and call it love-driven. The basic difference, and you always remember this, lust desires to get, love desires to give. Paul spent the whole time in March talking about these definitions and getting us to understand this. And you look in life, whether it's a breakup in a marriage, or you quit your job, or you leave the team, or whatever it is, I was not happy, I was not fulfilled, it wasn't meeting my needs, I was scared, I was afraid. You can identify lust-driven because it was what I was getting or I was not getting is why I'm making a change. Lust motivated that action, and it's easy to see that was lust-motivated decision. I left this church. I didn't like that. I didn't like this, and I didn't like that, and I didn't like this about the church. It's a lust-motivated decision. We are controlled by, we are motivated by either lust or love. Lust desires to get. Love desires to give. And only when, this isn't only when you're leaving or quitting something, but when you're joining something. People come to a church because what they can get out of it, what's in it for them. People go to work for a company What can I get out of this job? What is my pay? What is my benefits? What is my retirement? What is my insurance packet? What can I get out of this job? And you will only be there at that job until somebody offends you or somebody makes you mad or somebody upsets you. See, love, you take a job. Here's my talents. Here's my abilities. This is where I can give myself to. This is where I can best serve other people. See, that is love motivated. Doesn't matter if the boss offends you or likes you or doesn't like you or whatever. You're not here for the boss to like you. You're here because this is where I can best serve, I can best give. So you take a job because of lust, or you take a job because of love. Directors of movies, directors of TV shows, producers of music, publishers of books, they all teach and they all impart, and they shape the thinking of society. And what we are hearing today is not love, but in fact, it's just the opposite. What we're hearing today is lust. It's all about what's in it for me and what satisfies me and what fulfills me and what makes me happy and what makes me gratified. And in this society today, with what we're doing, we are producing a very self-centered society. A very self-motivated society. We are producing a very self-centered culture. Years ago, you took a job for what you could give to that company for the next 30 or 40 years. Now, it's what can I get out of that company, and what are my days off, and what are my benefits? See, we have moved from love to lust. Lust is the desire to get, to receive, to have, and simply it's this. The motivation comes from bringing outside in. Say, I want to bring outside in. God so loved the world that he gave. That's from inside out. That's not from outside in. Love is from inside out. God was love motivated. God loved so much he gave. And it tells us that that Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells inside of us. So the Spirit of God that is love motivated is to dwell inside us. Then we are to be love motivated in our actions, as opposed to being flesh motivated or the carnal nature or sin nature that the Bible talks about. That's why Jesus said you got to be born again. You've got to be born again. There's got to come a time in your life where you are no longer lust motivated, but you have been born again, and now the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, and because God is love motivated, you now are love motivated. The Bible talks about the fact that God wants to write his law, his governing control. God wants to write what motivates you and I on our heart. When the Spirit of God resides in you, he controls you by the Spirit of love. When God lives on the inside of you, you become controlled by the Spirit of love. And the point that I want to make today is following God is not going to church on a Sunday morning. It's not going to a Christian school 5 days a week. Following God is not spending weekends at youth group. Following God is being controlled by love. It's being motivated by love. It's being directed by the love of God on the inside of you in every action and all the decisions that you make. Now, people come to church here or anywhere, and they like what they see. They like the feeling. They like the friends. They like the atmosphere. They like the family. So they start coming and join church, and they're there for a while. But it's only a matter of time until they're no longer there. And what happened to them? At some point, what motivates you takes over. At some point, what motivates you takes over. What's in your heart comes out. That's why Proverbs tells us you got to watch over your heart with all diligence. You see, when you're born again, in Romans and Corinthians and Galatians talk about this, when you're born again, you move from being lust-motivated to love-motivated. We got to have a heart change. We've got to have a heart change. You're born again. New desires, new drives, new motive, new control. You know, a want to do right is placed in your heart. There was a time when you wanted to do wrong. There was a time you planned on doing wrong. Fact is, you started planning on Monday for what you were going to do wrong on Friday night. You called your friends and y'all talked about the wrong that you were going to do this weekend. See, you wanted to do wrong. When God comes into your heart, I'm not going to tell you you're going to be perfect because you still mess up. Here's the deal. You don't want to do wrong anymore. So that's not what I want to do. I want to now do what's right. I don't plan to do wrong. Now, I still say things I shouldn't have said and wish I hadn't, and I'm trying to do better there. But your motivation comes from a different place. You have to have a major change in your life. When you obey traffic laws, not to avoid trouble, but you want to do the right thing, a change takes place in your life. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians really explains what I'm talking about here. Galatians chapter 3, because mankind is born lust controlled or selfish, we as a society, we have to have laws. We have to have laws. We've got to have laws in our society to control human behavior that is not directed by the law of love. See, the law is to control people who are controlled by lust. Lust is a desire to get. Lust is a desire to get at any cost, at the cost of anybody. And so we've got to have laws that control human behavior that is directed by lust. Now let's read this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith is revealed to us. Here, let me put it another way. Verse 24 says, the law was our guardian. Some of your translations may say schoolmaster. The law is our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Now, here is the problem with law controlling society. It is only effective when the law administrator is watching. See, law controlling a classroom works good as long as the teacher's in there. But when the teacher runs an errand, y'all know the deal, we put somebody by the door to watch and notify the class when the teacher's coming back. And then you know what all breaks loose in the classroom until you get the warning, the teacher's coming, and everybody's back obeying the law. You see, the law only can control you while the teacher's watching. The law only controls you while the police is watching you. Now, as Christians who are love motivated, we still have laws that make wrong punishable. You obey the laws of the land, or you're punished by the laws of the land, and you don't break the law to stay out of jail. But when God's love comes on the inside of you, you become love motivated. You become love motivated. Josh sitting here running our sound. Sarah sitting right here on the second row. Their family is in church. I know their schedule. Now, I've got a break here in a few minutes. I can run to their house and steal their TV because they're not there. I go steal their TV. See, Paul and Angela, I know their routine. They both work down here. They both teach down here. So in the middle of the day, I can go break in their house, steal their TV. What keeps me from stealing Paul's TV? The law? Well, I go to jail if I go steal his TV. The law is in effect, but that's not what's my guardian. You see, that's not what's over me. There is a love in my heart for Paul and his family. And so it's, yes, the law is there, and yes, I would be punished if I did that, but that's not controlling me anymore. I don't need the law hovering over me because of the law of love that's now in my heart. Because God's love. Because God is love, when God comes in your heart, then your motivation changes. I don't even know who owns the convenience store, but I love people. I love people, so I don't pull out my pocket knife in the bathroom and carve my name in it. And the reason I don't do that is because there's a policeman in the bathroom with me? No. The reason I don't carve my name in the bathroom stall is because you love people. You don't steal, not because the police is watching, but because you love people. So I don't go to a restaurant and sabotage the salt and pepper shakers and unscrew the top so that the next guy that sits there dumps, oh, that's funny. No. You're being lust motivated. You're being, what would make me funny to you seems making you be, no. You love the people that may come and sit in there. I don't know who they are, but I love people. And I don't want somebody's food with a whole salt shaker emptied in it. Love for people. It's not because the restaurant owner is standing there watching me over the table. You never pour coffee the last cup out of a glass coffee container and put it back on a hot burner. Not in a convenience store, not here in church, not anywhere. You would never do that. Why? Because you know what it would take somebody to have to get that burnt coffee out of the bottom of that. I wouldn't. In the convenience store, when I take the last cup, I set it over to the side. When I check out, I set the thing over to the side. If you want to make some more coffee, I don't know about that, but I put it over to the side so it wouldn't burn. See, you're love motivated. You think about somebody else besides yourself and what you're doing. You think about other people. Now, I've never parked on the paved part of the parking lot. I never have. I'm parking the gravel because I don't wear high heels with spikes on them. I'm going to save that for somebody who might have a harder time walking in gravel than I would. So see, when you pull in the parking lot, does lust park your car or does love park your car? See, when lust is, you're all about gratifying yourself. When you get something to drink and you get up, is the styrofoam cup still sitting where you just walked off and left it? Is your water bottle still, because somebody's going to have to pick that up. Do you clean up after yourself? Somebody's going to have to take this up. See, you're finished, teenager. You're finished eating, and you're full, and you're satisfied. So you get up from the table and walk off because you're full. Or do you take your plate to the sink? Because somebody's going to have to carry this plate to the sink. I don't want my mom to have to carry it. See, love motivated or lust motivated. It'll make a difference in if you carry your plate to the sink after you finish eating or not. Teenage, you walk out, leave your bed unmade. Are you lust? Are you love motivated? You brush your teeth, kids. You brush your teeth and water splatters all over the sink. Now, do you throw your toothbrush down and walk out, or do you grab a hand towel and wipe the water off? See, when you're brushing your teeth, are you love motivated? Are you lust motivated? The examples could go on all day long because it determines everything that we do throughout the day. You're thinking about yourself or you're thinking about other people. What motivates your decisions? My point today is, a Christian is not one who never went to church and now started going. See, a Christian is one whose entire motivation for every action and every decision has changed. When God is invited to dwell on the inside of a person, God is love. So now that person becomes love motivated. The Bible says they will know we are Christians by our love. You'll struggle to live the Christian life. You'll struggle trying to be good enough to live the Christian life. Until you're born again. When Jesus comes into your heart, then you have a motivation change, and what drives you doesn't drive you any longer. And so living the Christian life really isn't that hard for a Christian. Living the Christian life is dang near impossible for somebody who's not. It's just the way it is. But whenever you accept Jesus into your heart, then living the Christian life is fairly easy. I'm trying to stay sober. I'm just trying to stay. I've been sober 2 days now. I don't even want to do that anymore. I've tried. I don't even want to do that. That's not something that you are interested in doing any longer. Oh, Tim, living the Christian life is really hard. Well, it's not when you are a Christian. It's really not that hard. When a person accepts Christ, a change begins to happen as you move from lust-motivated to love motivated. You begin to give to your mate instead of judge whether your mate is meeting your needs or not. You begin to give to your company instead of judge whether your company is meeting your needs or not and you plan on staying here or not. You give to the church that you're in attendance to instead of see if you like the stage host. Let me just side note. No one ever leaves this church because they don't like the senior pastor. He's easy to get along with. He's not controversial. Folks get mad and leave this church because of his fill-in son-in-law that has to preach for him sometimes. You know, there are people in our stage hosts. They're hard to deal with. You know, our musicians, the sound guy, they're just hard to deal with. So we got a lot of people leaving our church, but it's never because of the senior pastor. Just clear that up. The change takes place in somebody's heart. The change takes place in somebody's heart, and they move from, I'm leaving here because my needs are not met, and I don't feel this, and I don't do that, and they don't do this. I'm here because I want to serve and I want to give. I'm here because I see the fruit of this marriage, and I'm going to give to it. I see the fruit of this company. I want to give my talents to it. I see the fruit of this church. I want to give my talents to it. And so I'm not out of here when my needs are no longer being fulfilled or met. Our plan here is to move people into a relationship with the Lord where they're no longer lust controlled, but where they are love controlled. We'll go to 1 John. I've referred to this all the way to the back of your Bible. Let's look real quick. 1 John, go to the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. But anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. The law is here in our society, and it does the best it can to control human heart. The law babysits us until it becomes written on our hearts by God. Our first and second grade teachers, they have to watch all the time on the playground, in the classroom, in the hallway, in the bathroom. And we here control our kids by the fear of whipping them. That's what we do. We control the lust by the fear of punishment. But our plan is to move our older students to the mature place where they don't have to be watched in the bathroom. They don't have to be watched in the locker room or on the playground or in the back of the vans, because we have moved them from being lust motivated to being love motivated, and it changes the whole dynamic of your life. For adults, the police don't have to watch your every move. The police don't have to monitor your every step. Whether the police are there or they're not there, the love of God controls your heart. Love comes into your heart, and you begin to be controlled by it. In your marriage, are you controlled by love or lust? You're at church, are you controlled by love or lust? In your relationships, in your work, in your every decision, are you controlled by love or lust? It makes the decisions in your life. You can't talk about love without going to 1 Corinthians, referred to in chapter 13 as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us the definition of love. If I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith I could move mountains, but if I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking an unknown language and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. I want you to see today, when God's love comes into your life, you don't just go to church on Sunday morning for a brief visit with Him, but God, through His love, controls every movement that you make. God is love. God is love. Love resides in you. You're controlled by the love of Christ that lives on the inside of you. And I want to end with this. The essence of Christianity, is not coming to church or worshiping or preaching or raising your hands or, I mean, those are some of the things that we do. This is a manifestation or a result or a byproduct of the love of God that's on the inside of you. These things are not Christianity. Christianity is being in your life love motivated. Y'all stand with me. Today I want to ask that your life is lived love motivated. Begin to ask yourself, am I motivated by lust or am I motivated by love? When God comes and lives on the inside of you, you begin to be love motivated. Father God, today as we stand, we ask the power of your love to fill our hearts. And Lord, that your love on the inside of us is what makes our decisions step by step throughout the day. Lord, forgive us of those times in our day that we don't imitate you. Forgive us of times in our day when we don't act out of your heart. But Lord, as we walk with you, let us day by day become more and more like you as we are love motivated in our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.